How over here, Sefer Maisa Ish, it's stories and hashkafas from the Chazon Ish. There was a story where it says, Maisa b'Talmud Chacham Yadua, Shehoya Cholik al Chazon Ish Zatzal. There was a certain Talmud Chacham that disagreed with the Chazon Ish. Made Rav Yakim Schlesinger, Rav Yakim Schlesinger said, he testified, Amali Morin Hagriz mi Brisk Zatzal, al Talmud Chacham Zeh, Shehu Am Haaretz. The Briskerov told me that this Talmud Chacham, he's not Talmud Chacham, he's an Am Haaretz. V'nimuk, and the reason, since he doesn't understand how to evaluate who's greater than him in Torah, he doesn't understand that he is a flea compared to the Chazon Ish. Since he doesn't understand that, that's a simon that he's an Am Haaretz. This Talmud Chacham that's chaylik on the Chazon Ish, if he thinks that he should do anything but sit by the Chazon Ish's feet and try to figure out what the Chazon Ish is talking about and to beg the Chazon Ish to explain to him the right pshat, then he's an Am Haaretz, the Briskerov said. And the footnotes over here, it springs from the Chazon Ish in Shavius that says the taitch of an Am Haaretz is, says, V'ulai hu bizmanenu gamkein, there's such a thing as an Am Haaretz, a classic Am Haaretz. And Am Haaretz is somebody who has knowledge, but he's arrogant against a real Talmidei Chachamim who really know the Torah. Somebody that doesn't know his place. And forget about his place. Maybe he knows his place, but somebody doesn't know the place of somebody like the Chazon Ish is an Am Haaretz. Now, how does this work? Here's what we need to understand. How do we understand that somebody that does not understand the greatness of the Chazon Ish to the point where he should understand on his own that he cannot disagree with the Chazon Ish, that he's an Am Haaretz? Not he's mistaken. Not he's making a mistake. He's an Am Haaretz. The answer is that our entire religion, from beginning to end, is based upon one thing and one thing only. And that's the superiority of certain human beings over others in terms of their Torah authority. Question, why can't I disagree with the Gemara? Why can't I disagree with Rav and Abaya? Well, I give you a hint, whatever you tell me is not going to work. The reason it's not going to work is because, what are you going to tell me it says so in the Gemara? That's circular reasoning. You can't tell me it says in the Gemara that you can't argue with the Gemara. You can't tell me that there's a Kesef Mishnah that says Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, agreed that from now on nobody's going to disagree with the Gemara. Well, first of all, I can disagree with the Kesef Mishnah, can't I? Secondly, what authority does this Klal Yisrael's commitment have on me? Why can't I disagree with them? What authority do they have to tell me who I can disagree with? Bottom line, Rabbi say, why can I not disagree with Rav and Abaya? Klal Yisrael, you know what that sounds like if you understand it the wrong way? It sounds like, really, we really could disagree with the Gemara, just in order to avoid anarchy, or in order to avoid a breaking up of the religion into sects or segments, we all committed ourselves that we're going to follow Rav and Abaya. Chas v'sholem, that's not what the Kesef Mishnah means. That doesn't make any sense. And if it does, that is what it means, so why do I have to follow suit? Why do I have to go along with this agreement? Did I sign it?
We believe everything in the Shas is Min HaShemayim. So.
We believe, we're starting something. We believe everything in Shas is Min HaShemayim. Question. How do I know that what it says in Shas is Min HaShemayim as opposed to what I say is Min HaShemayim? How do I know that everything in Shas is Min HaShemayim we believe? How do we know? How do we decide what is Min HaShemayim and what is not Min HaShemayim? How do I decide that a Rishon can't argue, I'm a Rishon, I'm Rashi, I can't argue with the Gemara. Rashi is not Min HaShemayim, Kol Ma SheTalmud Vosek Osod L'Chadesh is Min HaShemayim. Rashi was also given Min HaShemayim. The Torah from the Alta von Kelim was given on Har Sinai. But everything was given with a certain authority. How do I know what authority was given with what? It's our Messiah, but what does the Messiah tell us? The Messiah doesn't just tell us you can't do this. I'm asking an explanation. You, Messiah, you tell me I can't do this. Tell me why. There is one answer. The answer is the superiority of our sages in the Gemara over the subsequent generations was such and so recognized that Klal Yisrael saw, not they agreed with some arbitrary agreement, they recognized the superiority of the Talmudic sages, and they said, just like the, as opposed to the Am Ha'aretz that said he could argue with the Chazon Ish, they weren't Am Ha'aretz, and they said, you know what, we have to, it's insane for us to think that we could produce Torah Shebal Peh the way they produced Torah Shebal Peh. We recognize that they were able to do it, and we are no longer able to do it. We recognize their superiority in righteousness, their superiority in holiness, their superiority in scholarship, their superiority in Siyata Dishmaya. We recognize now that the Tekufa, the period of creating Torah Shebal Peh on the level of Gemara, is over, because we see how inferior we are. Without that recognition, I see how inferior I am, our entire religion falls apart, because there's nothing else to base our religion on. The Torah is not something that was given on Har Sinai and now is interpreted by people, and now we have to search for the meaning in the Torah. The Torah is created, not discovered, by our sages in every generation. It is created by them through Yegiyah V'Amelus, trying to understand what it says in the Psukim, in the Gemara, so on and so forth. But the resulting conclusions of the sages of all generation, that is the Torah. That becomes the Torah. What Rav and Abaye said becomes the Torah. Not only were they guided by Siyata Dishmaya to say what is correct as opposed to what's incorrect, not to make a mistake in logic or a mistake of missing something. That's also true. But besides that, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai what the Torah says, he didn't just give him one opinion. Hashem, the Ritva says this, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu all the different opinions, 70 reasons to say Tomei and 70 reasons to say Tahar. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and he says, Hashem, so what do we do, Lamaisa? Hashem says, whatever you decide. There's no such thing that Rava made a mistake or Abaya made a mistake. If Rava decided this, that is what Hashem wants us to do. And it's not merely, it's analogous, but it's more than that. It's analogous to a case where your two kids, you have two kids and they're fighting with each other, and they come to you and they say, Tati, what should we do? And you say, you know what, I don't have time for this, you guys work it out. Whatever they work out, whatever the deal is, that's fine by you. Similarly, by way of analogy, Hashem said, whatever the Talmidei Chachamim work out, that's fine by me. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's not just Hashem's maskim. Hashem knows the future, and he knew everything that every Talmid Chacham would say. And he gave that to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and he manipulated the world. He gave every Talmid Chacham a certain neshama. Some neshamas are from the roots of Midas Hadin. Some neshamas are from the roots of Midas Harachamim. And Hashem knew that every neshama, every person that learns Torah Lishmo, every person that learns Torah is going to come out with a certain conclusion. It's deterministic. And Hashem knew that there's going to be a machloikis between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda about Treki Te'edim HaMakhisha Zuazu. Rav Huna holds Zubo B'fnei Atzmo Me'idin, Rav Chizda holds No, Bahani Sadi Shakri Lomali. Hashem knew about this. And he made the Torah L'chadchila so Rav Huna should argue with Rav Chizda. And he knew now that the halacha is going to be like Rav Huna, the Rishonim are going to paskin like Rav Huna, and that's going to be the halacha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what Rav Huna would do and Rav Chizda would do. He knows what everybody's going to do. He knows, and he gave them the perfect neshama and the perfect environment and the perfect midas and the perfect intelligence and the perfect siyata d'shmai in Ruach HaKodesh to be able to say exactly what Hashem wanted him to say. It's like a shchina medaberes mitoich groinoi. And Hashem knew what Rashi would say, and Hashem knew what Tosfos would say. And HaKodesh Baruch Hu manipulated everything so that whatever he wanted us to do would be what the halacha says for us to do. But he wanted us to figure it out. Now this applies. This is the definition of a Torah Shebal Peh. So while it's true that if you don't listen to the Chazon Ish, you're not Ma'aretz, and if you don't listen to Rava, you're an Apikoros, the Svara of the same reason why you have to listen to the Chazon Ish is the same Svara why you have to listen to Rava and Abaya. The reason is because they're superior. The question is how superior, and at what point do what they say becomes Torah Shebal Peh? At what point does it become authoritative on all of Klal Yisrael? At what point can Rishonim not argue? At what point can Achronim not argue? But it all is a balance. Our Bible, the Bible of Judaism, is the balance of authority between all the sages of all the generations, according to the traditional method of learning Torah. The methodology of learning Torah that we have, the Kasha, the Teretz, the Mechtesa, the Havamina, the Maskona, that's also part of the Masaira. When we learn Torah in the traditional way, with the traditional balance of authority, the conclusion of that balance of authority, wherever the chips fall, that's our Bible. So now a missionary comes to me and he says he has a raya from a posuk that Yoshi is Mashiach. No. It doesn't work that way. If our Masaira interprets the posuk differently, if our Masaira says that Mashiach is not here, the balance of authority of Torah sages and Torah scholars through generations said Mashiach is not here, Yoshi is not Mashiach. Yeah, I could argue with you that in Yeshaya it doesn't mean this and it does mean this. I could do that. And I'll win the argument. But I don't even need to do that because that's not our Bible. There's not even a discussion to open. That's the definition of Torah Shebal Peh. There's a Ran. I'm reading from the Drushas Haran in the 13th Drush. Now, a lot of people think that Chazal, you have to listen to them when they tell you a halacha. When they're not telling you a halacha, what they're saying, there are a lot of things in Chazal that are not halachas. There's agodas, there's hashkofas, various different things. A lot of people think that there's a difference in terms of authority between one and the next. Says the Ran as follows. K'moishin it's tavenu leilech achar haskamosam b'mishpatei ha-Torah. Just as we are commanded to follow the conclusions of the sages, talking about Chazal, regarding the laws of the Torah, kein itztaveinu l'chol masha omru lanu al tzar ha-kabola mahadeo yirshei ha-psukim, yihye ha-maimer ha-hu mitzvah oy lo yihye. It doesn't matter if they're telling us a halacha, it doesn't matter if they're telling us an agoda, it doesn't matter if they're telling us a drush, it doesn't matter if they're telling us a hashkafa. Anybody that disagrees with them, even if there's something that's not relevant to a mitzvah halacha, who apikoris ve'ein loy chelik li'olam haba. He's an apikoris and he has no share in olam haba, and he brings a gemara in Sanhedrin, which I would like to read. It's gemara in Sanhedrin, daf kuf amar aleph. Yosef, Reb Yochanan, and Kadorish. Reb Yochanan was sitting and darshaning. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, Lehevi Avonim Toivois, Umar Goliois, Shehen Shloishim al Shloishim Amois. Sometime in the future, Hashem will bring precious stones that are 30 Amois by 30 Amois. Vechoikik Bohem Eser Barum Esrim. And he's going to come cut out from each of them an opening 10 amis wide by 20 amis high. Umamidon b'shara Yushalayim, and he's going to put them by the gates of Yushalayim. Shenema, like it says in a pasuk. So, lag legal avoisei Talmud, a certain Talmud who was present, mocked this. How did he mock it? It's not that he laughed, it's not that he threw tomatoes. Omar, he said, hashta kebeyesa detziltzlo loy meshkachinon. We don't even see, what do you mean? There's no such thing as a pearl even the size of an egg, of a dove egg. Kulei hai mishkachinon, you're going to tell me that there's such things? I see differently. Liyomam hafligos finosa biyam. Eventually, this student was in a boat in the ocean, and Chazinhu, L'malochei Ashores, he saw the angels. The Kominasre Avonim Toivois Umagolios, they were cutting up a lot of stones and pearls just as big as Rabbi Yochanan described. Now you have to understand that this Talmud wasn't a joker. This Talmud wasn't an Amhoretz. I don't see Malochei Ashores. Did anybody ever see Malochei Ashores? This Talmud saw Malochei Ashores. Omar Lohu, he said to the Malachim. Now not only did he see them, he spoke to them. Hani Laman, who are you preparing these stones for? Omri, they said to him, Osara Kodish Baruch Lamidon Bishari Yushalayim. Well, Hashem is going to put these in the gates of Yushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan was right. He hodder when he came back, Ashkechel Rabbi Yochanan de Yosef Kodorish. He found Rabbi Yochanan sitting in darshaning. And he said, Omalei said to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe Dorush Ulcho Noel Lidroish. You know, you're a good, you say good drushes. Keshem Shomarta Kach Roisi. What you said, I saw it with my own eyes. Omalei Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Reka, you empty thing. Imloi Roisi Loi Hamanta. If you wouldn't see, you wouldn't believe it. Malagleg Al Divrei Chachomimata. Therefore, because you did not believe it unless you saw it, not unless you saw it, until you saw it. Therefore, you are malagleg al divrei chacham. Therefore, you are mocking the words of the chachamim. Yov be'enei, yosu gal shel atzomois. And the student died right away. The student ended up believing, but because the Torah said that this is what's going to happen. Torah meaning Rabbi Yochanan. The Torah said this is what's going to happen. And he said, I don't believe what the Torah says until I see it. Or more than that. I can't believe the Torah really says this. He believed in the Psukim, he just didn't believe in the Drasha of Rabbi Yochanan. I can't believe this is what the Torah means because I know there is no such thing out there. Ask any geologist. Ask any of these guys, they'll tell you there's no such thing and therefore the Pasuk must mean something else. And Rabbi Yochanan, now this was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan. This was somebody on a very high level. He goes around talking to Malachim. What Rabbi Yochanan says is Torah. It's no different than if the Pasuk itself would say this. And Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have meant it literally. He would have said, I don't mean it literally. Rabbi Yochanan said, this is what the Pasuk means. And because if a guy's stam has a midah that he's a doesn't believe anything he hears from anything, that's bad enough. That's not a mlagleg al divrei chachomim. That's a different problem. But that's not mocking divrei chachomim. But if you say, you know what? Because I saw with my own eyes that what you, Rabbi Yochanan, said is true, now I believe you. Now you're mlagleg al divrei chachomim. And he deserved to die, the Talmud. There are certain shittas that we have, certain interpretations that Chazal have, certain interpretations that the Rishonim have, that the Achronim have, and anybody who disagrees with that is disagreeing with our Bible, because our Bible is the Messiah. I'll give you an example of how this works, and we're going to have some visual aids here. I had prepared before the Shir, this is what I went to White Castle for. Online, everybody could see it. And here, everybody could see it. Down the street from me, down that way, there's a White Castle. And I saw something there, and I took a picture of it. Look what it says. Drive-through breakfast special. How much is the breakfast special?
$1.99.
No, that's not what it says. Look close.
$199.
Now, you were right the first time. Here, take it. Pass it around. You said $1.99.
No, I said.
You said $1.99. You said $199. Which is it, $199 or $1.99? If you go in there, what are they going to charge you? They're going to charge you $1.99. Question. Can you prove to me that it means $1.99? It says $199. How do you know? What do you mean $1.99? The answer is that any normal human being that looks at this with his experiences, using the background of his experiences and his knowledge of the way the world works, understands that that means $1.99, not $199. Even though it says $199. Nobody in his right mind would say such a thing. So too, such a simple thing. And does anybody think that there's even a 1% chance in a million that it means $199? No, there's nothing to discuss. Our experiences in the world give us a knowledge base which we use to apply to real-world situations that tell us things, what's accurate and inaccurate, what's real and what's fake. So too Chazal and our Mesoira and our Gedolei HaDoiris learn Torah, Lishmo, and their experiences and their knowledge forms a background to which they are able to tell what's reality and what's fake. It's not a question of can you prove it. Specifically, I'm talking about the Maharal and the Gra and the Ramchal and everything that we mentioned last time. They say when Chazal say a scientific fact, Chazal are talking about scientific facts that we can't see. Here's the way this works. Just like when dealing with the missionaries, it would be giving too much, would be inappropriate to argue the pasuk means this, the pasuk means that, the pasuk means this. You don't have a Torah Shebal Peh. This is what Torah Shebal Peh says. That's it. It's our Torah. It's our Bible. So too, let's look at the broader picture. And let's see the context. This says $1.99 because you understand context. Here's context. If anybody understands anything about our Gedolim, you know what the Vilna Gaon said once about Aristotle? They told the Vilna Gaon about Aristotle that he disagrees with Chaz, whatever. You know what Vilna Gaon said? Vilna Gaon said, if Aristotle would be here, I would be able to show him on the table what the universe looks like. I would be able to show him on his face, you're wrong, this is what the universe looks like. And Vilna Gaon's Talmidim were there, and they said, Rebbe, are you serious? He said, what do you mean, am I serious? Using one of the Shemus, I can do it easy. Just one Shem. If the Vilna Gaon was able to pull down models of the Shemayim over here, just imagine what Chazal knew. Doesn't make any sense at all to say, in this context, that Chazal had any suffix at all of what it looked like up there. And then when you put this together with, it says Shmuel was a Bucky and a Hardol like Shvili Durakia. And it says in a half a dozen places that Chazal got all their knowledge of science from the Torah. And all of these things put together and you understand what a Chazal is. Does it make any sense to say? Does it make any sense to say that Chazal made errors here or there? Rav Aaron Kotler said that one of the reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent somebody like the Vilna Gaon to this world was because through the Vilna Gaon, you could use it as a small scale model of what Chazal were. The Vilna Gaon, everybody in the Vilna Gaon's days, nobody has any idea, a musug, of how great the Vilna Gaon was. You look in the sky and you see a star, and it's a little light of a star, and you know that that star is really bigger than, like, I don't know, this whole solar system. What we see from the Vilna Gaon is just a little of a little of a little. The Vilna Gaon's Talmidim wrote, it's beyond human imagining what the Vilna Gaon was. But the Vilna Gaon, you understand, now just imagine the Rajba, the Ritva, the Rambam, Rav and Abaya, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan, it's way beyond our imagining. The Vilna Gaon said he could put over here on the table, he could show Aristotle right away like that, with one Seamus, one of the Seamus, that's it. Easy. Everything what's going on in the Rakia. You think anybody, any Chazal makes any sense? So if you have a Gemara that says that Chazal were moided to the Goyim, you have a Tamiya Rapsa that we have to answer. But we have to answer it within context. Just like the context over here tells us that the breakfast special is $1.99. It's not a question of prove it. The context of people, the context of the background of our experiences tell us what Chazal were and what is reality, where's the kasha, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And even if you're going to tell me, well, they didn't put a dot in there, I'm telling you it's $1.99 because of the context, Mesoira's context. And depending upon how big a Talmud Chacham you are, you be able to read something and understand, ha, I see what that really means. If you're the Vilna, if you're the Ramchal, if you're the Maral, you take a look at Chazal and you have all that background and you say something like this. And then they're saying there is nothing to discuss. Imagine a guy comes from Mars and he comes to the White Castle and I tell him that this means $1.99. Why should he believe me? If he doesn't have any background. And now we can discuss it. Well, the McDonald's across the street sells the breakfast special for $1.99. That's one side, but maybe White Castle is different. Maybe White Castle is more upscale. Then he said, well, White Castle isn't upscale, it's less upscale. Well, it's not true. It's less upscale in order to attract the upscale. We could debate about it for a year and it'll all be nonsense. And the bottom line is there's nothing to start a discussion with. We have a Messiah, and the Messiah tells us that certain things, there's nothing to even start a discussion, and it's the Bible. It's as if it's said in Torah, Misinai. Now, how do you decide? Zav over here. The first rule. It was very popular by the Grach and the Griz. Shehine, yesh anoshim shoimim sheyesh beis chalokim nifrodim b'Torah. There are people that say that there are two different parts to the Torah. Sheyesh halocha v'yesh hashkafa. There's halocha and there's hashkafa. Aval hevdil zeh mutahu, it's a mistake. V'yaf ma shenikra hashkafa hu gam kein chelik mahalocha. K'moy sheyesh halocha s'ma mutar lasoy, s'ma osur lasoy, s'ma mechuyovim lasoy. Just like there are halachas of what's mutter and what's osur and what you're obligated to do, k'moy kein yesh halachas, heich mutter lachshoiv. There are also halachas. What are you allowed to think? V'heich osur lachshoiv. And how is it osur to think? V'heich tzrichim lachshoiv. And how are you obligated to think? From the Reb Chaim and the Brisker Rav. And the same thing, a similar thing over here from Rav Hutna. He's quoting Rav Hutna. Rav Hutna brings a Gemara. He says, it's a Mefurisha Gemara, this. It's a Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. There's a machloikis beis Shammai and beis Hillel. If noyach lo yladam shenivra, noyach lo shaloi nivra. What did the Gemara say? Ninnu v'gamru. They paskin dal pi roiv, noyach lo shaloi nivra. What does that mean? What does it mean, ninnu v'gamru? If you want to tell me the majority believe like this, I understand. What do you mean v'gamru? They paskins, noyach lo... Hare deshayach psak halocha gam binyin shal deyas. There's psak halocha by deyas too. V'hainu mashenikra hilchas deis v'chayves halvavas. Ki ahevdil hu rak b'mokim v'oifin kiyumim shel hadvarim. The difference between the chayves halvavos, the obligations of the mind, against the obligations of the limbs, are that shebechayves ha'ivarim harihim nasim b'yodayim, that the obligations of the limbs are performed with your hands, hu b'hilchas deis harih kiyumim hum b'hasogas ha'seichel shel mekablei ha'toyah. Heyois hadvarim nimtsoyim b'das yisrol hu atzmai halasa shel toyah. All of our hashkafas that we have, that's the la'asos of the obligations of the mind of Klal Yisrael. Kol zeh ha'yisoid hishrish bonu ma'oid ha'rosh ha'shiva zatzal b'yisoid ha'hilchaz deis v'chayvus halvavus ha'shiva zatzal, that means Rav Hutna. The fact that there are deis in hashkafa that were legitimate once upon a time fell by the wayside, just like there are halachas that were legitimate once upon a time. There was Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was legitimate in Beis Shammai's days. Now anybody who holds like Beis Shammai, right? Chayav Misa, the Gemara says. Anybody who does like Beis Shammai. So somebody, there's a Mandiyomar in the Gemara, Rabbi Hillel, that says there's no Mashiach because Hashem will redeem the Jews himself. That's one pshat in him. The Rambam says anybody who believes this is an Apikiris. Was Rabbi Hillel an Apikiris? No. The Chasam Sofer explains that just like any disagreement in halacha, there are two shitas. Until the maskana, the mesoira, the halacha comes to a conclusion, once the halacha comes to the conclusion, this daya falls by the wayside. There are dayas that fall by the wayside that we don't hold from anymore. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman says a similar thing regarding Miriam. Miriam, we know one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was higher level than the nevuah of all the other neviim. When Miriam said Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, she denied that. So she should be an apikiris. Says Rabbi Elchanan, no, the reason why we learn out that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was because after the conclusion of that incident with Miriam. So at the point in time that Miriam disagreed with it, there wasn't yet that halachic conclusion. So therefore Miriam was not an apikiris, but anybody nowadays that holds like Miriam would be an apikiris. It's the same thing with all the deists. Rav Hutna used to say that since Yisrael Vayraisa V'kutcha Brichu Charhu, Jewish history is also part of Torah. And someone who distorts Jewish history is like he's distorting part of the Torah. If a person looks at David HaMelech, like a lot of people look at him, not from Yidden, he was some kind of warrior, wild man, because all they know is what it says in Tanakh without the Torah Sheval Peh. And Megal Ponim B'Torah Shloi Kehalocha, even if they follow all the halachas. Because David HaMelech, the reality of what David HaMelech was, that's part of Torah. If they say that there are people that distort throughout history, the figures in Tanakh, the Rishonim, the Achronim, if somebody distorts it, it's a Megal Ponim B'Torah Shloi Kehalocha. There are some very unfortunate victims of this Gilui Ponim B'Torah Shloi Kehalocha. Rabbi Akiva was one of them, Hillel was another, and the Rambam was a third. Rabbi Akiva was one, because everybody knows Rabbi Akiva said, V'haftal Re'acha Kamoicha, Kol Godel B'Torah, so therefore there are a lot of people and a lot of movements that want to drop all the Meinodim L'Mokim, and they name themselves their institutions, Akiva. What do they want with Rabbi Akiva? Teretz is because Rabbi Akiva did that and they have a distorted picture of Rabbi Akiva. That's Gilui Ponim B'Torah Shloi Kehalocha. Hillel said the Kola Terekula when the Gert came to him to stand on one foot. He said, V'yahavta L'reacha Kamoicha, but the opposite way is Kola Terekula. So they decided Hillel is one of them also. The Rambam? The Rambam was also a victim of this. The Rambam they made into some frumophobic maskil. Put words in his mouth that he never meant, that he never said. You know what the Rambam was? First, I'll give you an example of how a person can do this to anybody in history by purposely picking and choosing which parts of a person's philosophy you want to take, what can be. I'm going to give you now a little bio sketch on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was abandoned by his parents, thrown in a river, left to die. He was saved by the daughter of Paroi, and he grew up in Paroi's house, and despite the fact that he grew up in Paroi's house, Paroi's daughter saved him, and Paroi brought up this abandoned kid in his house as a prince. Paroi did that. This man, Moshe, had to leave Egypt as a fugitive because he was wanted for murder. And his victim died by supernatural means. Black magic was very prevalent in Egypt in those days. He ran to the desert as a fugitive out of the country that saved his life. And when his own God came to him and said, "Go back and save your people," he didn't want to do it. After being cajoled by God himself, he finally went back and led his people in a rebellion against the nation that saved his life. And even though they saved him from drowning, he drowned all of Paroi's people. He rebelled against the nation that saved him. Later, this same Moshe Rabbeinu was accused of stealing money from the sanctuary. He was accused of being mezana with an Eishes Ish. Nothing was ever proven. He was accused by somebody with Ruach HaKodesh, together with 250 members of the Sanhedrin, of nepotism. The facts, history records that he did indeed appoint his brother as Kohen Gadol. His accusers, before the case went to Beis Din, all died through supernatural means. The case never went to court. At the end of his life, the entire generation went into Eretz Yisrael, but Moshe was not allowed to go. End of the story. I didn't say one lie. Not one lie. Every single statement was true. But the whole shtickle Torah was a lie, because it's missing context. So if you tell me the Rambam said this, or the Rambam said that, or the Rambam didn't believe this or didn't believe that, without the context of who the Rambam was and what he was, you're doing the same thing to the Rambam that I did to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The exact same thing as White Castle. The Rambam writes, they say the Rambam didn't believe in supernatural things. What kind of thing is that? Because they know the Rambam didn't believe in Shadim. The Rambam believed in Malachim. The Rambam believed in Tchias HaMesim. You know what the Rambam writes? The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. Could you please, Yitzchak, could you please get me Mor Nevuchim? It's right on top of you. Green, big fat green sefer. Right over there. Yeah, bring me Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. In Mor Nevuchim. Chel Gimel Perek Nun Aleph. The Rambam writes. That if somebody has his mind on Hashem, if his mind is connected to Hashem, Efsher Sheyikrel Oz LeIshahu Min Mimine Horois, supernaturally, that person has a level of Hashgacha Pratis. Nothing bad can happen to him. No damage can happen to such a person. Ki Hu Im Hu'eloka Ve'eloka Imoi, because God is with him and he's with God. Al Bahosir Machshav Toi Me'eloka, when he takes his mind off Hashem. Ashehu oz nivdol me'eloka, and he's separated from Hashem. Heloka nivdol mimenu, God is separated from him. Vehu oz mezumin l'chol rash efshishi matzehu, and then he is vulnerable to any damage that can happen. Ukvar nivdol ktsas ho'itim min hachosir ha'hu ha'toiv, olo higia klal l'chosir ha'hu hara, ulezeira l'shnehem ma'sheira. The Rambam's saying that there is a supernatural, miraculous protection for somebody. It's the Reb Chaim Volozhin. Everybody knows this name of Reb Chaim Volozhin. That if you think Einoid Melavadoi, that this is the Mokot Reb Chaim Volozhin. Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel, Perek Mem Nun Aleph. That if a person always has his mind on Hashem, of course you have to be on a high madrega to do that. A person always has his mind on Hashem, miraculously. You look at the Perish Kresh Kash on Mor Nevuchim, he asks Kash, he says, I don't understand. This tzaddik got into danger, that tzaddik and that tzaddik, and Pidar Chateva, that's the way it works, one would think. But that is the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Klal Yisrael, the Jews, had a Mesoirah, a tradition from the Shevet Yisachar about all sorts of astronomical things. And we lost it. And because we lost it, the Rambam says, he has no choice but to use the astronomical calculations of the Goyim. And then he says, but you should know that I'm only using them because, number one, we lost our Mesoirah, and two, independently, I can verify that what they're saying is true. He's saying, befeirish the Rambam, I would never touch with a 10-foot pole their calculations. We have our own Messiah, but number one, this particular Messiah was lost. And two, I can verify that what they're saying is true. Otherwise, he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. The Rambam followed the Messiah. You know, when the Rambam, when he learned philosophy and he went into all these things, you know it's Mefurish a Gemara. Same as a Gemara. You know which Gemara the Rambam followed? There's a Gemara where in a certain town there are people that were dying because there was a certain snake or some kind of, I don't know what it was, some kind of reptile that was killing people. So they went to the tzaddik of the town, Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso, and they said, help us. Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso stuck his foot in the snake pit and the snake bit Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso. And the snake died. And Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa said, it's not the Ein Ha'orud Meimis Elo Hachet Meimis. And so too in the Rambam's days, there were people dying not from a snake, but from philosophy. And the people in Egypt, it says in our Sforim, they were all dropping like flies after the Karoyim. The Rambam's Kehillah was dropping like flies. So the Rambam did what Rabbi Chanina ben Doiso did, and he said, come get me, snake, except instead of snake, he said, come get me, Aristotle, come get me, Plato. And he created a Mor Nevuchim, and he stuck his own heart and soul into that snake pit, that poisonous snake pit, in order to save his people. And as the Chosid Yaivet says, for the Rambam, a miracle happened. I'm not surprised. Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa also had a miracle. The exact same miracle. But Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa had a physical miracle and the Rambam had a spiritual miracle. You see, talk about context again. There were great Mekubolim that read the Mor Nevuchim And as they read the Mayor Nevuchim, they smiled and they said, I recognize that. I know what he's saying. And it's all teachings of the Kabbalah. They saw that the Rambam says that the Lechem Aponim, that's one mitzvah that we don't know what the reason is. And they smiled and they said, yes, anybody who sings the Askinu Sudos on Shabbos knows the Arizal's words. Yigala lontame de betres arname. Kabbalistically, that is the mitzvah that we don't know the reason for. The Ketoiris, the Rambam's reason, all the Mekubalim say that that's exactly Alpi Kabbalah what it is. And there are those that said that everything the Rambam said in Mayon Avuchim is Ois Gehalten Alpi Kabbalah. It's just that the Rambam wasn't a Mekubal, but the Rambam was the Rambam, and therefore he had the Siyata Deshmaya, Min HaShemayim, that he was Mechavin always L'derech HaEmes. And the great Mavinim, there are great people, experts in the Kabbalah, that looked at the Mayon Avuchim and said, yes, I recognize this, and I recognize this, and I recognize that. Ah, I see what the Rambam is saying. The average guy may not know, but that White Castle is $1.99. I don't care what it says. I know what it means. And I see what the Rambam says, and I know what it means. The Rambam put out a Mayor Nevuchim. The Mayor Nevuchim was the result of when the koiches of kfira, of the philosophers, clash with the kedusha of the Rambam. And the result is a sefer that becomes medicine for the Nevuchim. Now those that say that if, you know, medicine for the Nevuchim, there's a lot of medicine out there that if you take it, it's going to get you sick. Unless you have the right illness that the medicine was designed for. There are those that say that the Mayor Nevuchim, if you read it, and you don't understand who he was talking to and why he was talking, it's dangerous. You either have to be the Moglenitz, the Satmar Rebbe, one of these people that recognized in the Rambam, Mayor Nevuchim, all sorts of Kabbalistic things. Or, Chasam Sofer said, if memory serves, that until you're 40, you don't learn the Mayor Nevuchim. You have to have a background. And before the Rambam stuck his foot into the snake pit of philosophy, he knew Kola Teira Kula. The Rambam was Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa. The entire idea of, well, maybe Chazal, or maybe they made a mistake here, or maybe this, or maybe that, you could argue hand to hand. And at the end, you bring up the Gemara that says, Basulim Choizrim, Min HaShemayim, Hashem changes the Teva. It's clear Chazal said scientific statements that they knew where the scientists would laugh at. They didn't care because they're talking on a completely different level. There's nothing to do about that. But we shouldn't even need to even get that far. There is no Mesoira that has such a thing. And because there's no Messiah, our Bible says, forget about it. And Reb Chaim Brisker once had a Talmud that went off the derech. And Reb Chaim met him, and the Talmud said, he asked the Talmud, why'd you go off the derech? I have kashas. And Reb Chaim said, what are the kashas? And the Talmud told him the kashas. Reb Chaim got up and walked away. They asked Reb Chaim, why didn't you answer his kashas? And Reb Chaim said, those weren't kashas, those were terutzim. You can only answer kash, you can't answer teretz. The frustration and the outrage that we see in Klal Yisrael amongst our Talmidei Chachomim about this whole issue is because the issue has been settled already hundreds of years ago, and nevertheless, the same questions which have already been answered and disproven are brought up over and over and over again, and it's come to the point where there aren't questions, there are answers. Can you please give me more brachas? I'm Brochus over there in the Black Shas. There are people who know the answers to these questions. They know the answers. But people bring up the questions as if their theories have not been already disproven 1,000 times. And the outrage is because if you live a Torah life and you see the world through Torah eyes, not only are such hashkafas wrong, not only are they against the Torah, but because the answers have been out there for hundreds of years, and they're being ignored. When it's only a desire to be able to stick your head up amongst the goyim and say, I'm not one of these fundamentalists. Such a thing is not only wrong, it's not only bad, such a thing is ugly. And I mean that literally. It's a nevola. The Gemara says so. Says the Gemara as follows. Brachas daf yud beis amud beis. Says the Gemara, lois asur achrei levavchem. Achrei levavchem zuminus. You're not allowed to believe anything, like we said in Sefer HaChinuch in the Mishnah Berurah, anything that's against the Torah's opinion. V'chein hu oimer. And the Pasuk says, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Omar novel beliboy. A novel, I'm a novel, a disgusting person. Omar novel beliboy ein Elohim. The novel says in his heart, there is no God. What does the Gemara mean? Says Rashi. Omar novel beliboy ein Elohim. Ve'ein lecho novel. You don't have a greater lowlife, a greater menuvel, a greater more. You don't have more disgusting person. Min ha'hoifech divrei Elohim chayim. From somebody that twists God's Torah. We have to understand what this means. We mentioned last week about that the Torah is the force that holds the universe together. It's not only force that holds the universe together. We have to understand what the Torah is. If I say it's the force that holds the universe together, I'm like a little ant. Imagine a little ant crawling on the street. And in that ant, there's little bacteria that live on the ant's body. And I say that an atom bomb can destroy the entire ant. From our perspective, all we know is the world. We're little fleas, we're little bacteria living in a little world. The Torah, forget about the universe. The universe is nothing. The Torah, in all of creation, it was the blueprint of all of creation. It is the force that holds together, not holds together, that maintains and sustains and nourishes all of creation. The more people learn Torah, the more creation is nourished. That power of Torah learning is stronger than any other power in the world. There is nothing in the world that comes close to the power of Torah. If you want more peace in the world, learn more Torah. If you want more, the world should be a safer place, learn more Torah. If you want, the world should be greener and less pollution, learn more Torah. Torah is the force that makes the world better. Bittul Torah is the force that makes the world worse. Now, anything beautiful in the world is just a reflection of a pale reflection of the beauty of the Torah. Anything that's strong in the world is a reflection of the strength of the Torah. Anything beautiful in the world is a reflection of. Now imagine taking that power, harnessing it, and using it for evil, and using it and distorting it. Imagine what you do to the world. That power, that's the one formula of everything, that's the Torah. Imagine twisting it. Imagine what that does to the world. What happens is, instead of a beautiful world, instead of Niflois HaBoire, you have ugliness. You have Nevola. Ein lecho novo min ahoifeich divrei olikim chayim. There is nothing more disgusting than taking the Torah and knowingly saying something because you want the Torah to say this, because you have an agenda, because you have some goyisha hashkafa, and now you want the Torah to agree with you, so now you're going to make sure the Torah agrees with you, even if you have to make a biography of Moshe Rabbeinu the way I made a biography of Moshe Rabbeinu before. It's a nevola. There's a vote from the Divrei Yoel on that Gemara. How does Rashi know the Gemara is talking about a Megal Panim B'Torah Shloi Kahalocha? Maybe the Gemara says, Oma novel Bali Boyein Olekim. Where did Megal Panim B'Torah Shloi Kahalocha get in here? So he says, Pshat is like this. Everybody knows, says, V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. B'chol levavcha, not b'chol libcha. Levavcha means with your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, with the powers of good and bad. The Pasuk doesn't say, Lois Asur Achrei Libchem. It says, Lois Asur Achrei Levavchem. We're talking about a minus and apikorsis where you use the power of good for bad. Just like v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha means you use the power of bad for good. Loisasur achrei levavcha means you use the power of good for bad. With both yetzer tov, just like v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha means you serve the Hashem with your yetzer hara. Here it means you serve the yetzer hara, you serve the forces of evil with your yetzer tov. That's how Rashi knows a mahapech divrei lekim chaim. Oma novel b'li boye in alekim. On the contrary, it means the Novel just denies God altogether. He doesn't have Levavoi. He just ignores it. But Levavchem, that's Megalopon and B'tor Shloi Kalocha. And I'll tell you a pshat in this with the Orach HaShulchan. Oma Novel B'liboy Ein Olikim. The Orach HaShulchan says, I believe it's Evan Ha'ezer Simon Yud Gimel. The Orach HaShulchan says, we all have to know that Chazal knew science better than all the scientists. And those people that disagree with this are really Kofer and Torah Shebal Peh, even though they'll never admit it. They won't admit it publicly, but inside they're Kofer and Torah Shebal Peh. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do such a thing. Of course, look at the context. Chazal? Vilna Gaon is nothing compared to Chazal. If we know about the Vilna Gaon, how in the world could Chazal not know that? If all the Gemaras we know, how in the world could it not be? With context, there's nothing to discuss. That says Yekoy from Mamela, Adkan the Orach HaShulchan, but Mamela, Lois Asurach Rei Levavchem Zuminus, Shnem Oma Novel Bali Boyen Olekim. The Megalaponim B'Toyi Shloi Kalocha, the Gemara is saying, is a Megalaponim because really in his heart, he doesn't believe altogether. Mamish like the Orach HaShulchan. And I'll tell you one more pshat, why a Megalaponim B'Toyi Shloi Kalocha is called a Nevola. Because it's a Gemara. Talmud Chacham She'ein Boy Deya. A Talmud Chacham that doesn't have Deya. And here Deya means the right Hashkofas. Nevela Toiva Mimeno. A dead carcass in Nevela is better than him. Why? Nevela, that's why a Megalaponim, Talmud Chacham that doesn't have Deya, that's a Megalaponim B'Toyi Shloi Kalocha. Nevela Toiva Mimeno. Ein Lucha Novol Min HaMegalaponim Min HaMahapech Divrei Elikim Chayim. Even a regular Nevela isn't a bigger Nevela as him. Now, why is a Nevela better than him? I'll tell you a pshat. A Nevela carries diseases. You don't want to go near a Nevela. A dead carcass? At the beginning, maybe it has to take time before it develops the diseases. But a dead body, a dead carcass? It you don't want to go anywhere near it. It's diseases. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his Chochmah, caused the dead body to smell. I never smelled a dead body, Baruch Hashem, but I hear that it's the most repulsive thing in the world. Why? Because it's a message. Stay away from me. Stay away, I'm full of diseases. That's a Nevela. But a Talmud Chochem Shein Boideya smells good. He's also diseased. He also pollutes people. He can also make people sick. And he can also make people dead. But there's no bad smell coming from him to say, stay away. On the contrary, there's Torah coming from him that says, come near me. Listen to my Torah. That's why Nevela, at least the Nevela smells bad. This guy smells good. This is why there's such an outrage about this issue. It has been proven time and time again. There's nothing to open a discussion about. Yes, the idea legitimately was raised as an idea a few times in the past. The Pachad Yitzchak raised it to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, don't even think about that. And that was the end of that. He said, maybe Rebbe, Lulei de Mistapina, I would say such a thing. The Rebbe said, don't think about that. Forget about it. Then there's the Rebbe Azariah Min HaAdumim that wrote a sefer like this. And the Maral said to Klal Yisrael, don't even think about what this man is saying. He didn't understand one word of Chazal. He didn't understand one word of the Gaonim. He just didn't understand. And our Masoira has ruled, obviously, in favor of the Maral. Not that it's much of a chiddush. He proved his case pretty strongly there. Not that he needs anybody's haskama. But everybody, since then, has said this. There's nothing to talk about here. Until the Maskilim came. The Maskilim decided differently. And whatever legitimate shittas may have said this, either are reconciled or fall by the wayside. Nowadays, that somebody should say it, and you got to understand also, if you have a shita that you can't reconcile with the Gemara, you can't use that shita. That means you don't understand something, probably the shita itself. The Rambam has a shaila if this world is going to be forever, if the world is going to be destroyed or not, and the Rambam says that it's inconclusive because in one place it's mashmiyeh, in one place it's mashmino. If there's a stira to something, if you can't reconcile something, then you can't use it. If you have a shita that doesn't appear to fall in line with the Chazal and the Rishonim and Amasoira and the rest of Klal Yisrael, then that shita either you misunderstand or it can't be correct or there has to be some other explanation. You know, the greatness of Reb Chaim Briska in learning. Everybody speaks about the greatness of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was great and great, but there's a nekuda of his greatness that a lot of people don't understand. You know, sometimes you have a Gemara and you say a great vort in the Gemara. Reb Chaim, when he said his pshat, you didn't have a good vort, you had a good Gemara. The greatness of Reb Chaim was that after you have a Reb Chaim, you look back now at all the Gemaras and what used to be shver is not shver anymore. The Rambam is not shver, the Ravid is not shver, the Gemara is not shver. Everything, all of our tradition, now previously it didn't make sense, or made not so much sense. Now our whole tradition makes sense, going all the way back. That's what Reb Chaim did. Sometimes you have a vort, that it's a good vort. The Gemara does is not any better, but the vort is a good vort. Sometimes you have a pshat, that now, because you have a pshat, now you have a shver Gemara here and a shver Rambam there, and things become more shver. That's a bad vort. But if you have a shita, that if you say this shita now, 100 Gemaras fall apart, and you have to say, well, this Gemara is Lav Dafkin, and that Gemara is a Doichik, and this probably doesn't mean what he says, and that Rishon, and this Rishon, this that's another school of thought, and the Rambam would probably agree with me, because the Rambam, you will psychoanalyze him, and we know the Rambam was really like this, and let's reevaluate our entire Mesoira. Don't even think about it. Our Mesoira is our Bible. We don't reevaluate it, ever. If there's a vort that makes the Mesoira clearer and more understandable and less shver, that all the doichiks now don't become doichiks, everything becomes good, everything becomes more literal, everything becomes more kipshutoi, that's a good vort. And if you're in the Gemara, that the odds are, you mamish have pshat. If you have a pshat and it's a doichik or it leads to a doichik, it's a doichik. It says in Poiskim Roif, doichiks are true. But if you have a pshat that has to relearn our entire Mesoira, and this one was wrong, and that one was wrong, and this one could be wrong, and this one, don't even think about such a thing. Discussion doesn't even need to begin. Some shitas are legitimate, but we don't paskin like them. Some shitas are legitimate, but we don't use them because they're not understandable and they don't jive with Chazal. Chacham Ovadji Yosef has a shaila about this Rabbeinu Avram ben Harambam. And he doesn't even know about the question, its questionable veracity. He doesn't even know anything about the fact that it may not even exist. There's a certain yeshiva in Brooklyn. He does mention the name, and he does mention the name of the rabbi, but you could look over there. It's in his Tshuvas Yabi Oimer, who was teaching this Rabbeinu Avram ben Harambam. And I happen to know the rabbi. I happen to know the school. After the rabbi left and his new ownership, I used to teach in that school under the new ownership. And the old ownership, it was a Kiruv school. Sfardim, Kiruv school. And there was a big machloikis because people were moicha, how could you teach such a thing? It's not true. And they brought to Chacham Ovadia. Chacham Ovadia says, you can't teach such a thing. He says, I know the Rabbeinu Avram, but it doesn't matter. Anu ein lanu ela divrei Chazal. In Chazal, this is what it says. You have a kasha from Rabbeinu Avram. It's fine, you can't overturn all of Chazal because you found the Rabbeinu Avram ben Harambam. If you cannot... reconcile it, then you don't understand it. So now you can't reconcile it, I don't know, with one, with a diuk somewhere in a chazal. Okay, mela, you'll have a kasha, but it'll still be a shita. But if it's something that's going against everything we know about kol ha-Torah kula, which it does, then you know what? Either figure out pshat in the Rabbeinu Avram, reconcile it, or I don't know, it doesn't matter. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, Anu ein lanu ela divrei chazal, that's it. So now, what could be that the teretz is either reconcile it, he didn't really mean that, he meant something else, he only meant it in these circumstances, or we don't paskin like that, finished, end of the story, dismissed, or the ksavyad, you know, it doesn't really exist, also dismissed, whatever it is, it's not part of Amasai, it doesn't matter, it's like somebody coming with a base shamai or something like that, or somebody teaching, imagine somebody teaching in a kiruv school, somebody, the kids say, you really believe in Mashiach, come on. Well, don't worry, Judaism agrees with you. There's a shita in Mashiach Yisrael. No big deal. What would you say about such people? That's the exact same thing as the Rabbeinu Avraham. That's what Chacham Ovadia is saying. Or imagine somebody will say, you believe that in spiritual beings like God, well, everything is physical in the world. Just ask any scientist. Well, guess what? Judaism agrees with you. Because the Ravid says there are shitas that believe that God was physical. So you hold like those shitas. Can't do that. Now, those shitas existed. Both those shitas existed. Rabbeinu Avraham, we don't even know if it really exists. But either way, the Messiah is our Bible. And if a person doesn't follow the Messiah, he may as well throw away the whole religion. Because there's no svara al pi svara to believe Chazal and not believe the rest of the Messiah. Because the only thing that tells me that Chazal know what they're talking about is our Messiah and nothing else. And now going back to the first thing we mentioned, if somebody thinks that he can, whoever this anonymous Talmud Chacham was, Talmud Chacham quote unquote, if he thinks that he can disagree with the Chazon Ish, he's an Am Ha'aretz. Of course he's an Am Ha'aretz. Because one of the basic knowledge bases without which you can't be a Talmud Chacham is to know who is a greater authority than whom. Without that, you can't learn a word. If you don't understand who's a greater authority than whom, then you cannot learn a word. If this guy thinks that he's a bar plukta of the Chazon Ish, then he's an Am Ha'aretz. Because he doesn't understand anything about Torah. A Torah is based only on the authority of the Torah scholars, nothing else. They're the ones who give us the Torah. They're the ones who create the Torah. And that's the Torah that we follow.